Paula, not everyone does what you've done. You have, in a sense, given up fame. It wasn't your thing. You did it. It was fine. But you decided to move on. Can you track who you are based on the music that you have created throughout your lifetime? Is it almost like dropping a little piece of yourself, almost like a trail of, let's just say, breadcrumbs or something? And if you go back, you can see who you were through that song and when it was created in your life? Is it almost like a trail of breadcrumbs?
Or a trail of tears, perhaps. But I do like that. I'm taking my emotions, because I don't think I'm very good at finding my feelings, actually. So music is this way for me to find my feelings and name them and talk about them and sing about them.
Nice.
That makes me feel so much better. It heals me. And, you know, sometimes they're loaded with angst, for sure, and then sometimes it's happiness or anger, like I said before. It's a myriad of emotions, and music helps me find them and name them and sing them and make them into something beautiful or strong. And what's amazing to me is I've made these songs, right? And they're like children. They remain alive, and sometimes people cover them, or they still get played on the radio, and I sing them live, and I'm looking out at the audience, and they're singing along, and it's these songs have helped them, or they're helping them in the moment. And of course, it's not just my songs; it's all music. Music touches us in a way that words alone can't. I don't know what else can, but it's mystical. It's divine. It moves us. It touches our emotions and makes us better.
So a big question, which I'm sure you are asked all the time, how does music come into existence for you? What is the process of getting a song out of yourself? Does it start with the lyrics? Does it start with a tune? What comes first?
We need these outlets so that we can be better people, really, and kind of leave the world a little better when we're done with it. But it's an intuitive process. Sometimes it's been lyrics first, like, for instance, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? That was a phrase that kind of flowed out of my pen and my brain onto the page very quickly. And I looked at it and I thought, what a fabulous phrase. I need to write lyrics to that. And the story just came. It just came flowing fast and easy. And I set music to it afterwards. And at first, it came out like a rumba, like a different feel altogether. And then it stayed as a demo, kind of languishing in a closet for several years. And it was overlooked. I mean, because I wrote that song, it could have made Harbinger, actually, the first album. But it was overlooked by the record company. And I decided, you know, that's a good tune. I think that there was something about that song I liked. And so I decided to demo it at home again. And this time I put more of like a traditional kind of Ringo Beatles style, you know, pop beat behind it, and
nice.
Added those funky background vocals and put a bridge on it. And suddenly everyone really thought it was a hit. And there you go, which was a lesson to me on many fronts, like the biggest one being that is your best song isn't necessarily your last song, right? Your newest song.
Sure.
And that sometimes old ideas just need a little bit of coddling. But other songs come like lightning bolts, like Mississippi on This Fire was like a real lightning bolt. Just came to me, and I had a sense of the lyrics and the music right at the same time. And even the production, like I could hear certain elements musically, how I wanted it to flesh out. And then most of the time, I mean, because Lightning Bolt is my favorite when it comes like that, but most of the time it's this more intuitive process, usually at the piano, like fingers, shapes on the keyboard, and I'm noodling. Sometimes I'm even learning other people's tunes, like other artists I adore, and I'm listening to their chord changes, and I'm playing around with their chord changes, and then I change it and flow into a different space, and then I start humming along without words, and then they become words.
Nice.
It's very intuitive.
based on those methods, let's play a couple more of your songs now. We'll play Mississippi, that lightning song that just kind of made its way out of you. And then we'll also play that other song off of your second album, This Fire, the one that you were just talking about that really needed a catchy beat in order for people to kind of notice it. Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Paula Cole on KNOM Radio. Well, Paula, what is ahead for you? Any idea, both musically and personally, what's ahead in the next year or so?
Thank you for asking. I am looking at my 10-year-old daughter and knowing that I need to be there for her for this, you know, for the next 8 years until she graduates. I'm really going to need to be present. But I would be very depressed if I didn't have my career or make some expression of music. So what I'm going to do is I, for the first time, am not on a record label, a major label, mm-hmm. and I'm really thrilled about that. And wow. I'm going to self-finance my own independent work. I have studio time booked in early August, and I'm going to be starting the basic sessions for my next album, because I still call them albums.
Holy cow,
so
yeah.
I'm going to start working on my next album. And I think and hope and pray that it'll come out in 2013, and it will definitely be oriented at my fan base, which isn't the same fan base that existed in the 90s, that's for sure. But I'm really okay with that, because I think that all got too large for me anyway. I'm an artist. I want to make art, and I want to make my truth. So I'm active on my Facebook pages and my sites, and I play shows to my loyal fans, you know, around America mostly. And so I'll continue doing that. I'll still be playing small theaters in the States and making my art. And this time it'll be, for the first time, independent. And I think that's an exciting place to be, especially in this new kind of digital paradigm where you can be more entrepreneurial. So
yeah.
I'm thrilled about it.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm excited just hearing you say that. I'm so happy that, I mean, this is the route that you want to be going down, and you get to be a little more independent. That's great. And you get to be there for your daughter as much as you would like.
Yes. The hard part and the key is balance, right?
Yeah.
I need to be home a bit. I can't live on the road like I used to. I used to live on the road.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. But I really don't want to do that anymore. It's not a life to be had in one's 40s anyway.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, I suppose it can be, right? Willie Nelson does it. He's in his 70s. But I can't, not with who my daughter is. So I'll find the balance best I can. I worship music. My life is so dedicated to music. But now I have this little gentle, beautiful soul I've got to take care of, too.
And would you say that, I know you said this is the happiest you've been in a while, but this is such an unfair question. Are you happy right now?
You know, I'll always have an endless well of angst and sadness. And I think that just comes with being an artist,
mm-hmm.
because I'm sensitive and I pick up on other people's sadness. I pick up on the sadness of the state of our world. I feel things very deeply. So, I know other artists that I admire are similar to that. I think that's almost a requirement, that sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And that sensitivity always gives me angst. It just does. So will I ever be happy? Well, I think happy is a wrong word. It's an overrated word. I don't think I'm aiming for happiness. I think I'm aiming for a meaningful life.
Great. Well, Paula, you have produced some great music, and we've shared a little bit of that this morning, and we appreciate you being part of our show one last time, and the best of luck on your new album as you try to get that going.
Oh,
I know it'll be
thank
great.
You. I'll take it. Okay.
All right, Paula, thank you.
All right, Maddie, hope our paths cross.
I do, too.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.